Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor. We're ready to rock and roll. Ben, you remember the last show we did? It's either last show or the show before last where I hit record and it just seemed like it was spinning and it was not recording.
It was recording.
It was recording. It's the most fantastic video ever. I should just clip that first. The first piece out.
That needs to be your Instagram post of us not knowing what the hell we're doing of beginning the show. And you can be like, it. Not all shows are perfect. This is how this one began.
And we were doing some weird face thing. It was hilarious. But anyway, I digress. Auburn's on a
roll. Let me go before you get started, because he's going to be listening on the way home this afternoon.
Okay.
Big shout out to Hunter, Afternoon Delight guy. Is that a tournament today? Golf tournament today. First time playing since November, Kyle. I'm going to feel that tomorrow.
Okay,
I'll tell you that right now.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny is I've had so many people, like, shout out, Hunter. Thank you for listening. I've had so many people that tell me that this is one of their favorite shows. Like, the one we do is one of their favorite shows because we just kind of turn the camera on and just shoot the bull for 30 minutes.
We're like two fans that just sit here and we talk about the things that we think may or may not be important.
Yeah. And, like I have to make, you know, when you're the main show that I do every morning is very regimented and it's very like built for optimization. And, you know, we got our segments and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And like this one, we'd say, hey, let's talk recruiting, turn the camera on and roll. Okay, yeah. and then we just make it happen. Talking about recruiting, obviously the big news of the day was Leighton Von Brandt or Brandt from Delaware.
Yeah, that was
trying to take a run at that high school name. I want you to Google. I'm going to give you a second while I'm talking about it, and then I want you to take a run at this high school name. He's 6'6" and a half, 285 pounds. Broke the mythical streak. It's not even a mythical streak. Broke the streak of not being able to land just a highly recruited, highly rated offensive tackle. Still got to sign him. Still got to get him moved in. But currently a top 100 offensive tackle. Feels like it's a doesn't feel real quite yet. Have you found the high school yet?
No, I Googled him and it like gave me everything but his high school.
Just type in his name and put like 247 beside it, and then it'll pull up his 247 profile, and then the high school will be right there. Starts with an A. Man. Come on, man. This is killer audio podcast material right here.
Oh, Apoquinami.
I think that's not very far off.
That's what it is.
Apoquinami.
Yeah, Apoquinamink.
Apoquinamink High School in Middleton, Delaware.
That ranks right there with down in Florida, Apalachicola.
Apalachicola is easy. Apalachicola is spelled.
It's easy because you grew up knowing what Apalachicola was.
But if you'd grown up knowing what
Apoquinamink was, you'd have been fine.
Apalachicola is spelled exactly how it sounds.
Apoquinamink is spelled just exactly like
it's. I don't know. I guess maybe it is now that I think about it. I think you pronounce it correctly. Regardless, big offensive tackle from Delaware. Ben, can you name the last Auburn player recruited from Delaware? Can you name
from him? Delaware? No, what? No, I thought you were going to be like the last big offensive lineman that we signed out of high school.
We'll do that next. We'll do that one next. Can you name the last player Auburn's gotten from Delaware without cheating?
No, there's no chance. I would have to Google that too, and I had enough trouble just a minute ago, so please don't ask me to do that.
Do you remember Angelo Blackson, defensive lineman from Bear, Delaware? Has the most incredible film because he plays middle linebacker in high school, and he was like 300 pounds and running people down. There's a lot of folks that are, I'm sure, questioning, okay, he's from Delaware. Like, what kind of football could that possibly be? And I'm sure it's not like the top level of competition, but every camp this guy goes to, he dominates. And I think that's one of the biggest things that's exciting about him is that when he goes to these camps and he's playing you know, the best competition out there. And honestly, Ben, those camps don't really favor offensive linemen.
No, they don't. As a matter of fact, they favor skill guys. One of the best stories I've ever heard, the guy that does color commentating for Auburn High Force, Rob Pate, defensive back for Auburn back in the day. I was asking him how he came to Auburn. He said, through camp. I said, what do you mean? He said, I was in camp the same time as T. Martin. They had these races, basically the 40, that you had to race against somebody. They just didn't time you in the 40. He said, and I beat T. Martin. And then all of a sudden, all the coaches started coming and talking to me because I just outran T. Martin. So he's like, I was nowhere on the radar until I came to an Auburn camp and beat out T. Martin. So that's the thing. When you just mentioned that he's going to these camps and he's dominating, like clearly coaches are like, okay. So he may go to a small high school, but clearly he's got the ability to do what he needs to get done.
Offensive linemen in general, like you're not wearing pads. So it's all about, you know, so you can't really deliver a lick or, you know what I mean? Like you can't deliver a hit. You basically just have to catch and use your hands. So it's like the kids that have the best feet and hands are typically the ones. It's not always the biggest and the baddest. You know what I mean? And that is when you watch his film, that translates because he's very athletic. He like gets out and runs and, you know, pulling on a screen. His commitment announcement this morning, Ben, they did it live on Rivals YouTube, which was awesome, by the way. And it came on like right after my show premiere. So my show premiere was at 7:30 and then the show started at 8:00. So I was telling everybody in the premiere, hey, go, here's the link, go straight over to the announcement. I said all that, it has nothing to do with what I'm about to say. But anyway, it was kind of fun. There was a bunch of Auburn guys from my premiere in the live chat. Cool. But they were showing highlights. And the very, very first highlight is they do like a throwback screen to a wide receiver. And he's pulling out and he's leading the way and absolutely mauls some defensive backs like way down the field. I say all that to say, when you're talking about a kid that excels in these camps and how that play translates onto the field, you didn't just get a kid that's bigger than everybody from Delaware. You got a really, really big athletic kid that everybody in the country wants. And Auburn has had such a bad run lately, can recruit receivers, linebackers, defensive backs, every position on the field cannot recruit and land big-time offensive tackles. And hopefully the dam's about to bust and we can start lining these kids up.
Golly. Man, if you can get one or two to come in, then guys will be like, okay, so I will go there.
Yeah, or it can work. You can have success. Now, they got to have success. But, I mean, you had Wilson Zierer last class that's you know, going to play this year a little bit. And then you get Leighton Von Brandt. In back-to-back classes, like, who knows? That could start a wave of guys.
Who's the last guy Auburn got that wasn't necessarily a top guy out of high school as much as – who's the last guy Auburn got that it worked out that they ended up heading to the pros and being somebody that's worth their salt? Because they had a good career.
I can tell you. And honestly, it was almost derailed for health reasons. What was his name? He was a five-star. Honestly, Auburn signed him. He's a five-star. And then he had, like, Sean Coleman.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, he had leukemia, I believe, and missed a couple of years and then came back and had a really good career at Auburn and ended up being drafted, I believe, and played some years in the league. Before that, it would be, you know, Greg Robinson, I guess.
Braden Smith was in between there.
But Braden Smith was a guard. See, we're talking about tackles. Braden Smith was a guard, and Braden Smith was a monster. He was a monster from the day he landed on campus, but he was an interior guy, and he was drafted as an interior guy, and he's still playing as an interior guy. We ain't had no problem there. We've gotten interior guys. We've had good centers. We've had good guards. It's tackles, man. For whatever reason, Auburn has been – snake bit there, and hopefully
you're right. I guess it's Robinson would be the last one.
Calvin Ashley was highly rated, and he came in. We signed him out of high school, but he never played.
Yeah,
You know, that's what I'm saying.
It's not, I'm not saying, you know, who did we get out of high school? I'm saying, who did we get that worked out that ended up making it that next level? Because you and I have talked about it. The stars, they mean a lot when it comes to recruiting. They don't mean crap if you can't perform at the next level, and they will cut you in a heartbeat. Like, you'll get signed. If you're a five-star, you will get signed by somebody. Even if it's a free agent signing, they will sign you somewhere if you come out of high school as a five-star. Even if you don't see the field, you see it all the time. Ortega,
there's another one.
Ortega. That,
they that was 2015. He played and he got drafted.
It's like, golly, Kyle, 10 years ago? Or 11 years ago?
11.
Except for 11. Coleman?
Except, but Coleman was before him.
Oh, my gosh. That's awful.
It's really
like, that's really bad.
I remember being fired up about Prince Sammons. He was a high four-star guy, and he didn't ever play. I'm still going through, like, all the different guys that it could be.
That's absolutely awful.
I know, man. 11 years. The tackles have just been – yeah, Calvin Ashley was – Austin Troxell, you know, but he got injured every other year. But he played. He's not in the league or anything.
Yeah, but it's
like
not that next level play. I want the next level, like the guy that's going to – come through, be serviceable even in college, because there's a lot of times things click when they get to the next level. As you talked about, I mean, I know we're talking interior, but it was almost like, to me, Braden Smith, who was good at Auburn, seemed to like take it a step up when he got to the pro level. Because he was all defensive coaches in the pros talked about. Like, you know, we got to go away from Braden Smith. And so same thing, you know, with Robinson. You know, he clearly, when he got to the league, was sought after. Like, people wanted him. And Auburn has not had that. I mean, that's two guys that's a tackle and an interior guy. And then, as you just mentioned, Coleman, who's been serviceable and in the league and playing and overcoming everything he had to do. But I got to be honest with you, Kyle, we're talking about three guys, one of which is not a tackle. We're talking about three guys that made it over the last 20 years. That's crappy. That's awful.
That's awful. It's all, no wonder kids won't come here.
No wonder quarterbacks are having trouble.
Yeah, you can't protect them. Auburn's had to kind of live and die based off of, you know, bringing in guys like Jack Driscoll and Xavier Miller. I'm not no disrespect to any of these guys. Austin Golson. In other words, like, you're just continually. You remember those Flex Seal commercials? You're continually like slapping the Flex Seal over putting it on the bottom of the boat, you know, that's sinking and not actually going and fixing the boat. So I'm pumped, man. I'm pumped. It's so funny. I want to talk about last night really quick. Last night when all this stuff started to go down. We'll jump into that in just a second. But before we do that, got a shout out, buyauburn.com. Do business with Auburn people everywhere. If you're going to be part of the family and love the Auburn family, well, dadgummit, spend money with them.
Dadgone it.
And if you're a Auburn business and you want to get your business in front of a lot of Auburn fans, this is the way to do it for less than $1 a day. And hey, you could even have your own podcast. We have a podcast that we launch on the weekends. We're going to try to do a couple episodes a week and launch those on Saturdays, spotlighting businesses. So can't really beat it, man. It's buyauburn.com and then aushirts.com. Ben, I dropped the Praying Mantis shirt. Sold one like immediately last week. So thinking of some new shirts and stuff like that I can drop every single week. All the memes and the fun stuff from the shows you can find there. It's aushirts.com. So
Kyle and I actually were texting back and forth about various designs. Yeah. On the Mantis shirt. So you guys hang on for that, because come basketball season, there's no telling how deep that could go as far as the Mantis designs.
Yeah. It could be a lot of fun. So last night was fun because it was really, really late. I would say probably like 9 o'clock. You know, I don't record my morning show until literally the morning of.
Yeah.
99% of the time. And one of the reasons is because of that. Like, if you pre-record, a lot of times you can miss news and then stuff becomes irrelevant. And so about 9 o'clock, Ben, I get a text. And it's like, dude, are we getting, they called and just said LVB. Are we getting LVB? I was like, I have no idea. But this person that sent it is typically somebody that knows like kinda what's going on.
In other words,
he's like, I'm hearing we're about to get LVB. Have you heard anything? And I was like, no, I haven't. And then all of a sudden it starts popping up on message boards. And it looks like Auburn swooped in at the last minute, which they've done this a couple of times now, swooped in and got him, stole him from Notre Dame like at the last hour. There were people still in the live announcement chat that were Notre Dame fans that apparently, because it was so early in the morning, missed the wave of information from the night before. They're thinking he's about to announce to go to Notre Dame. So it flipped that quick last night.
So I wonder if he had made the decision as of last night, because as I'm scrolling through Twitter last night, somebody from either the Auburn beat or from 247 or Hayes Fawcett, somebody tweeted out decision tomorrow, Leighton Van Brandt. And I don't know what it's all I know is Van Brandt retweeted it, quote tweeted it, and said, basically what you just said. He said what time he was doing it, looking forward to it. And if you scroll down through the comments, it was Auburn dominated by Auburn fans.
Yeah.
There may have been one Notre Dame comment for every 10 Auburn comments.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, so Auburn fan base is doing their job of showing him some love, whether he chooses Auburn or he doesn't. And you know my rule, Kyle. And until those guys sign the dotted line, I just don't get super excited. But after seeing this guy's film, and like you talked about his athleticism and his ability to kind of get out, you know, to the outside as well as be a, you know, an interior guy when needed, I was kind of like, this would be kind of a big get, because I mean, we had Big Cat Weekend.
He wasn't even there.
I know. That's what got me. Is when he says, when he was like, yeah, make it, he basically was like, yes, I'm making the decision tomorrow morning. You guys tune in. And I'm sitting there going, that's kind of because earlier yesterday, or maybe it was the day before, yesterday was Sunday. Today's Monday. Yesterday was Sunday. Maybe it was the day before. He said, looking at making a decision soon or something like that. Because I do follow up on the
date. I thought he put that date out there, but it doesn't matter. Keep going.
Anyway, and maybe it was something he was responding to. But when I saw that yesterday where he basically was like, you guys be sure to tune in. And then you saw all these Auburn people. And then you saw, I want to say it was Hayes Fawcett that had said something, you know, it looks like he's leaning Auburn. And I was like, dude,
it wasn't Hayes. He doesn't do those. Hayes just puts out like the mind blown emoji and everybody just tries to figure out what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like Saturday they announced that he would be committing live on Monday.
Okay.
But whenever that went out, I didn't even think Auburn was in the conversation. I mean, I knew they were in the top, quote unquote, top four, but I didn't think Auburn stood a chance. And I really think something happened late last night. Like, I think they either made one last pitch, it dropped the bag, whatever you want to call it, late last night, and flipped this thing in Auburn's favor, because it sounds like Notre Dame was like, what? Like they thought they had this one in the bag even up to like late last night. So fun stuff. I remember, so he came back in March, and I remember that particular week we got two windows to view. Mm-hmm. This was during spring. And this was on a Thursday, and I just remember how intent he was watching the offensive line. Like, I remember him, you know, a lot of recruits, they're going around, they're shaking hands, they're doing this, whatever. He's locked in on the offensive line, and, you know, Coach Hoodie was coming over there and, you know, talking to him on the indoor, then they go outdoor. And I mean, he's just like tractor beam, just like right there on the offensive line. So for all those folks that talk about this particular offense, and it may not, you know, be the best for translating for big time offensive linemen, I mean, this guy was like up close and personal and ended up choosing Auburn. So you got him committed. You got to sign him. and you got to get him moved in. So it ain't over. The battle is only just begun, but it is easier to keep a kid than it is to flip one.
Yeah. The thing that I like about it, Kyle, is stuff like this, success, you know, begets success is, you know, when you get a guy like this and you get a couple of other guys that committed over Big Cat Weekend, and you told me that you and Daryl had talked about that. And sometimes people wonder if that's still kind of a thing now with backdrops and transfer portal and
no,
is it as big as it used to be or something like that.
More I'm just talking about, like, is Big Cat Weekend still relevant? Like,
yeah,
is that still, like, do we still even need to have a Big Cat Weekend with the way recruiting is in its current form? Or that's kind of what we were talking about, because, you know, you didn't even have a top 100 player there in the 2027 class. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, a top 100 player that came in March committed on the Monday after Big Cat, who wasn't even at Big Cat.
Right.
Then you have like five or six top 100 players in the 2028 class. So, like, is it just kind of phasing itself backwards? Like, is it going to be more of like a junior thing? I don't know. That was the gist of the conversation with Dap. It wasn't so much of, heck, we weren't even talking about him.
No,
this was it. We went live at 8 o'clock. We went live at 8 o'clock. So, cause we thought he was going to Notre Dame. And honestly, I think the text message I got was during the show and I didn't catch it until afterwards. But yeah, that's how late it was that everything started to switch to flip.
But again, I think success begets success. If you get a guy like that, and then some other guys see that and they're like, okay, they're building something. Something's going on down there. And then you compound that with some success on the field this fall. I think the future looks bright, and the staff is proving, in my opinion, to not be a G5 staff. They're proving to be a staff that can compete with other staffs that are out there and you know, in big time football. And and clearly with the names that they're getting, and I know that some people are going to jump on the guys that are going to poo-poo on this are going to be the ones that are like, well, it's new, and so it's always easy when a guy's – you know what? The thing is if they can coach too, though, because that's been the issue. Kyle and I have talked about it. I don't think that it was tough for Hugh and staff to get guys in. There was just zero development, and there was nothing on the field that showed otherwise. So if this staff can get them in – and get them coached up and get success on the field, I think that Katie barred the door. These guys are definitely headed in the right direction. And big names like that and steals from the Notre Dames of the world or the Alabamas of the world or the Georgias of the world or the Texases of the world, you start doing stuff like that, then you clearly have changed the playing field when it comes to recruiting.
I'm with you. Last real quick thing, speaking of I was going to say speaking of recruiting, but this has nothing to do with recruiting. It's golf. I just got a message. So the guys obviously started their qualification regional today, like over in Athens.
Yeah, and I think there were 7 under, six under, something like that.
They started off – I didn't really know the whole context around this. They started off really bad. They were over par through the first like four or five holes. As a matter of fact, Jackson shot like 3 over on the front.
Yeah, Corbin did not have a great. He was not the low man on the team today.
He shot 4 under on the back. Yeah. I didn't know this. He had a stomach bug. Like he was like almost throwing up and stuff like that. So like that makes so much sense. Almost had a hole out for eagle on the back nine. They gutted it out, no pun intended.
Yeah,
and now they're jumped all the way up to second. They're a couple of shots back from the leader. Gilly's leading the whole thing, though, I think. Gilly shot 6 under.
Yeah, he shot 6 under. He had a big day.
So the format is they got 2 more rounds, and the top 5 advanced to the national championship. And currently, Auburn is 2 shots above – no, they're not. They're, hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's two schools tied at 5 under. Auburn is 7 under. So technically they're like 2 shots clear of the cut. So That's good. It's a good start. Good rebound.
Yeah, see, the women did the same thing. They had a rough first day, and, man, they turned it on. And then even Anna Davis won individually in their regional, and now they'll go to Carlsbad this week to play.
Yeah, they do it this week. Is it Carlsbad, or for some reason I feel like it's Greyhawk or something like
that? Nope, it's Carlsbad.
Same place?
Yep, okay. Same place.
I know what it is.
The golf SID is on the show with me in the mornings, and he is not supposed to go out there unless they basically make a run right there at the end. So he's kind of
– O'Reilly?
Yeah, O'Reilly sitting and waiting if he's going to be flying to Carlsbad, California or not.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Guys, thank you all for listening. Shout out, Hunter. Glad you hope you heard us talk about you, and hope you played well today. And, you know, maybe next year the Barn can be more involved in that tournament. I think that's a great tournament, and I want to definitely try to get more involved as this thing grows.
Isn't Bub and Anthony's son, aren't they similar in age?
He's a year older. He's a year older. But, okay. Yeah, they played on the same fall T-ball team. So, or back coach pitch, sorry. Guys, y'all have a great rest of your day. We're out of here. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.